All right, good morning, Asbury. How are you? All right. I see some special guests in the house this morning. We're full of special guests this morning. Please stand with us. Arise and sing with us.
Won't you be seated, please? It's so great to be with you. Great to be in worship with you. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a delight to welcome you to Asbury United Methodist Church. And we're so thrilled, especially those visitors that we have, that you've joined us this morning. And at this time, we invite you, as the ushers pass the registration pads, for you to sign those and put your name down so we can have a record of your attendance this morning. This Tuesday continues the Gospel of John study that I am teaching in the Emmanuel Sunday School room on the first floor. We invite you that at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. Food and drink is provided. And we also want to highlight that next Sunday at 3 p.m. we're going to have our apartment outreach. And what this means is that there's going to be folks that gather and go to some apartments surrounding Asbury, handing out gift bags. And so if you're interested in helping with that, we do know that the more people we have, the quicker we finish. And so if you would love to be a part of that, we welcome you to be here at 3 o'clock next Sunday. But now I invite Carol Lee Ford for an announcement.
Good morning. A year ago, the Emmanuel class in Asbury set a goal for 2015 to collect old shoes and contributions to support the Ozark Water Project so we could dig a water well in Haiti and help save lives. Well, the good news is we exceeded our goal, so thank you to all who brought shoes or made contributions last year to Ozark Water Project. This June, OWP will be drilling the Asbury United Methodist Water Well in Haiti in the community of Fond Parisian. Currently, the only source of water for 300-plus people there is unclean lake water that's about a mile away. Tuesday, March 22nd, is World Water Day, so we're going to ask the members of Asbury to celebrate World Water Day and the blessings of having clean water that we all take for granted by bringing used shoes again the next 2 weeks here in the church. You can put them in the boxes that will be in the hallways, and there'll be one here in the WAC. And if you say, well, I brought all my shoes last year and I don't really have any, ask your friends or neighbors, relatives or whatever, if they would be willing to donate their old shoes. It's a really simple way to spread God's love. So if you have questions, you can talk to me, Scott Noble, Susan Williams, or Chris Bird. We're all in the Emmanuel Sunday School class. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol Lee. Thank you for that important mission. And now I invite you to stand, greet one another in the name of Christ.
Jesus is King. Sing it out.
Children, come forward for children's moments, please. All right, what a great group. How are you guys today? Good, excellent. So, have you ever had a secret before? How many of you have had secrets with somebody else? How many of you want to share those secrets today? Okay, a couple want to confess the secrets. What are some things or reasons why we have secrets with people? You know, what's a reason?
Sometimes, like, you, like if you're having your birthday and you may not want to invite them, you don't want to do that because it will hurt their feelings.
Okay. Excellent. Good point. You want to keep it secret so the people you don't invite to your birthday aren't hurt. Excellent. How about you? You don't want to be judged by the secret. Okay. What are some things you keep secret with somebody else? Okay. That's good. Maybe it's something that you just want to share with a best friend. Maybe it's something that you don't want to get out. Maybe you're embarrassed by it. Maybe you're scared or sad. There's lots of reasons that we have secrets, right? Well, there's a man in the Bible named Nicodemus. Can you all say that? Nicodemus. It's a really long, long name. But this man met in the middle of the night in secret with Jesus. Do you want to know why he might have done that? Any guesses? Because you've heard all your life that Jesus is great. Why would people want to be scared of that? You know? Maybe he was scared with how Jesus might react, okay? Maybe he was scared of what other people thought, right? Have you ever been nervous about what a friend or someone else might think of what you did or said? That's happened to me, right? But we can know that when we confess something or say something to Jesus, that Jesus is honest, didn't he? He's going to keep that safe. He's going to keep that secret. He's going to keep that to himself, and he's going to help you, isn't he? That's right. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer, okay? Y'all repeat after me, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the beautiful day and that you help us when we have problems. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn to your bulletins. There are several prayer concerns in our bulletin. I'm happy to report that we will be removing Ruby Hogg, my niece, from that prayer list as she has finally gone home. So praises for that. We're thrilled about that. But there are still many people that need prayer, including Reverend Mary. And I invite you now to bow our heads as we go to God in prayer. Lord, we love you. We give of our lives to you. We're here gathered in this sacred space for a reason. Maybe there are different reasons. Maybe it's because we really want to be here, to be with the people we like, to worship God, to have a rich experience. Maybe we've been pulled here by a family member or a friend, or maybe God. There may be other reasons why we've gathered here in this place today, looking for wisdom, looking for community, looking for people that care, looking for a place where they are welcomed and loved, accepted. For we know, God, that you are a loving and accepting God. You wrap your arms wide, wide around us, welcoming all into your presence. For when we gather in your presence, we have a rich experience. We experience the closeness of your grace and love. We experience the empowerment of that encounter that helps us to live our lives when we leave this place. So God, we gather here in prayer, praying for those that are hurt, praying for those that are sick, praying for those that are lonely, praying for those that are without water, praying for those that are without shoes, praying for those that are hungry. Praying, praying, and praying more and more. And God, we have the faith that you will take all of these prayers, that you'll pour out your mercy and your love on each and every one of the situations in our world that need your presence. And Lord, may we be confident that you will lead us to help answer those prayers, and that it's by the power and your wondrous grace that we're able to make a difference by your Spirit. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers make their way forward to collect this morning's offering, I want to thank you so much for your outpouring of support as we've raised food and lots of collections of that in the boxes in the back with our Give If You Can campaign. We are thankful, and of course, you were asked to bring canned fruit today, and next week you'll be asked to bring rice, beans, or pasta. And so we hope that you'll continue in that endeavor as we impact those that are hungry around our city. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you, a giving God, a generous God, wanting your generosity to pour out upon us so that we might share and spread that into a culture that is greedy and selfish. We want to be countercultural. We want to change things. We want to make things better. And so work through us, O God, by our gifts, by our lives, by our witness, to do just that. Amen.
So long, just stay.
sing this with us.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours.
Amen.
Amen. My goodness. Y'all are good. Y'all are good. So grateful to be with you as we continue in our sermon series on Lenten revelations, as we think about ways in which people respond to Christ. And we turned to how no one can do these things with God in him. And we're going to be talking about the scripture from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. So hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things, these signs that you do, apart from the presence of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. So at first glance at this revelation, no one can do these things without God and him, it seems like a pretty profound proclamation, doesn't it? It seems that way. And yet what's puzzling and what's glaring to me is that we look at this person of Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader of the Jewish community. He has studied the scriptures over and over and over again. He's read interpretations on interpretations of those scriptures. And yet, the first thing he says to Jesus is, "We know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do without the presence of God in him." Well, duh! Come on, Nicodemus! I mean, let's just think about this. I mean, Nicodemus, that is first grade level, right? That's the color green. It should be to him, shouldn't it? Absolutely. He has all this wisdom, all this understanding, all of this education. And he says something that's so obvious to someone that should know that, right? And then as the conversation continues, as it talks about rebirth, as it talks about being born again of the Spirit, Nicodemus can't comprehend it. He doesn't understand it. And the reason is because what Jesus is talking about, being birthed again through the womb, is not something you use your mind for. It's not something you use your understanding and wisdom and knowledge to discern what it is Jesus actually means. Because to understand such a thing requires the heart. It requires the heart. If the Spirit's in Nicodemus, Nicodemus is allowing the Spirit to work within him. Nicodemus would understand that the heart is what truly matters in understanding something about rebirth. That's what John Wesley talked about, was rebirth, having the Spirit living out in your life, poured out within you, living and breathing and acting and doing. A marvelous and incredible thing. About regeneration, about how that's not where it ends, that's where it begins. When the Spirit is within us, it has a goal, right? There's a goal to all this with our Christian life, and that's to grow deeper and deeper in the love of God. So question, is the Spirit within you? Do you truly feel God's Spirit at work in your life? In the past year, I wonder, because Nicodemus, with all of his education, it was actually the poor, the sick, and the outcast that had a deeper level of understanding of who Jesus was than Nicodemus did. Gatorade several years ago came out with "Is It In You?" as their slogan. And you saw the commercials that had the colored sweat coming out of the person. Is the sweat of the Spirit coming out of you? Are you full of it? I don't mean the other it. I mean the real it we want. Right? We want God's Spirit within us, leading us, discerning with us. So then the question becomes, how can you tell if God's Spirit is within you? Anybody like a know-it-all? That's my biggest pet peeve in a classroom, right? Someone who knows all of the answers, and really, if they were honest, they would just admit that they're smarter than the teacher, right? And so I had a very revered professor in seminary, who at the beginning of every course she taught would kind of set the stage. She would talk about the importance of listening within learning. Listening to yourself. How many times are you opening your mouth? And she would say, make sure you count. I want you to count how many times you open your mouth and say something, whether you think it's important or not. And listen to all the other people. What are they saying? Who's not speaking? Because the importance of a classroom, when you open your mouth and you say something, you're not learning, right? Because you clearly already know the information. But if you listen up to others, you can learn something. You create yourself vulnerable to hear and open to different opinions and thoughts and viewpoints. So why is this important for our spiritual life? Well, we have to listen to many voices around us. What we're saying, what others are saying, what others are not saying, and most importantly, the voice of God, the voice of the Spirit that's within us, trying to lead and guide us, trying to help us discern our path forward. Right? John Wesley thought it was important that we look to the characteristics within a person's life, the character traits that are developing because the Spirit, it was within them. Because if you're living your life and you say that the Spirit is within you, well, is your life changing? Is the world around you changing? Two important questions, because they both should be true if we're living in the Spirit. John Wesley measured these character traits as the fruit of the Spirit. Is fruit growing in your life? Do you see evidence of love, joy, peace, patience, and so on coming to bear fruit with your Spirit, God's Spirit within you? Before I was ordained, I went before the Board of Ordained Ministry. And the focus of that interview was to discern with whether I had become fruitful in my ministry. Where is the fruit evident? Because if there's no fruit evident in my leadership or ministry, well, why would we waste our time and want you to be a pastor? If your job is to help others bear fruit and you're not bearing fruit, there's a problem, right? And so they measure and they look at all the ways you do ministry, how you serve. Are disciples' faith, are they growing? Are more disciples coming to the faith? And so that's not just a question for me to ask, but a question for you to ask, right? Where are you being fruitful? Where are you being productive for the vineyard of the kingdom? Powerful. I've shared with this before, and my favorite television show of all time is Breaking Bad. And my favorite, one of my favorite characters in that show is a character named Mike. And Mike is a hitman, and basically his job is to make sure the loose strings are cut off, right? You know what I mean? Okay, good. And he talks to the main character of the story, Walter White. They have a conversation. And he basically tells Walter that if you're going to do anything, if you're going to put your mind or your heart into anything, don't do it with a half measure. Don't do it with 50%. Don't do it half. Live your life, aim that goal, complete that task with a full measure. A full measure of passion. A full measure of wanting to do good. That's what we should be doing in our faith life. Embracing it with a full measure. Imagine if each of us would quit thinking that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy enough, that we're not smart enough, that we don't have the right gifts, that we're too weak, and actually believe that God is the one telling us, "Hello, you are my child. I have created you. You are not meant for destruction. You are not meant for sin. You are meant for hope and healing." A full measure is what we're all supposed to be striving for. Because as we start to grow in our spiritual life, things change. Don't you want to dive deeper? Don't you want to dive deeper? Deeper. Is Nicodemus, a smart, intelligent, studied, all of it was at the surface level. The poor, the sick, and the outcast, they were well below the surface because they understood who Jesus was. And they had the deep faith that healed them. Where do you want to be? Now, I know some of you will say, "I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just trying to keep my head above water. There's so much going on in my life, I don't know how I'm supposed to do a full measure of passion. I have to keep up with my children. I have to keep up with my job. I have to keep up with all my issues and problems, and I'm just trying to get by." My brothers and sisters, the truth that I've had a hard time figuring out for myself, a truth I've learned from my family, and truth I've learned from people that are sick and hurting, and it comes from 2 Corinthians that when I'm weak, that is when I'm strong. It's been a long time for me to figure out what that means. How can I be weak in one moment and strong in the same? And the reason is because when I'm most weak, most vulnerable, most in need of God, that is when I cry out. That is when I reach out to God, and God is the closest. And so great wisdom comes from when we understand we're in a difficult position, and yet we still maintain our faith and strength that God is close, and that the best we give, the best we are giving now, is what God wants. It says we dive deeper, below the surface, richer, fuller, to explore the depths of God's love that maybe we haven't even thought of quite yet. We come to the understanding that at the root of that, every crossroads that come our way, every situation, every action or reaction should come down to one thing: that I love God and I love my neighbors. The strength of the Spirit is within each and every single one of us. Our task is to allow the Spirit to work, to push aside our pride, to open ourselves up, and to allow God to do the thing that God wants to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing song as our praise team comes forward. If there are those who would like to come forward to kneel at our prayer rail and have a time of prayer, or if you'd like to reaffirm your faith or to join the life of our church, we welcome you forward at this time.
All right. Thank you, Chase. All right, guys, you ready? Singers, you ready? How about everybody else? You all are ready? All right. Let's warm up. One final song. We're out of here. You guys have a great week. So glad you were here today. Let
let everything I say and do be founded by my faith in you. I lift my holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring.
So if you'll just join me in a brief prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and we praise you and know that your hand is on Reverend Mary and on her family and the doctors and nurses that are caring for her. We just pray that you continue to guide us as a church, that we may support her as she has supported us, and we pray for all those, Lord, among us who need your hand. Please be with us as we go this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go in peace.